You give me that joy like a river. You give me that mercy I never deserve. You give me that love, nothing better. You give me that sweet peace like never before. There's nobody like God, like God. I'm talking about my God, my God. There's nobody like God, like God. I'm talking about my God, my God. Your love is so amazing.
Your love is so amazing.
Your love is so incredible.
Your love is so incredible.
Your love is so amazing.
Your love is so amazing.
Your love is so incredible.
Your love is so incredible.
And I'll never get enough of your love, Jesus.
Never get enough of your love.
No, I never get.
Thank you.
the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God? An ancient
you're the well that won't run. given me joy. You have taken my burden. You have given me freedom. You have given me joy. You have taken my burden. Me freedom, you have given me joy, you have taken my burden. You have given me freedom, you have given me joy, you have taken my burden.
Day to be living, am I right? Amen. So today we're going to conclude our sermon series, Unafraid, and this has been incorporating the book that was written by Reverend Adam Hamilton, and it's one of his latest books, and based on the feedback that I've received, that I'd say this has been a timely thematic topic, this thing called fear. And this it's a complex emotion, fear. Something that each of us deals with, and it permeates our lives. You know, it does its best to just hold us back. And it's holding us back from the pursuit of joy and fulfillment and this promise. Yet we get so tied up in the worry knots over failure and finances and, insignificance, loneliness. Fear leads us into making poor decisions, and it wreaks havoc on our relationships and on our communities. And man, how we struggle with fear, wondering how we, our families, our communities can thrive, even survive in the times that are troubled in which we live, which leads us to this morning's fear topic. Previously, we focused on the fear of the other. And we did this in a sort of a more personal, general way. Well, today we're going to take a broader approach on this topic, a more global perspective. And sometimes it feels like the sky is falling. And then we find ourselves responding in such a way to weaponize our fear. For example, there's not really a week that goes by, because it feels like this is like a daily occurrence a lot of the times when some new threat or catastrophe arises and it dominates the headlines. We might wonder in times of trouble, where's God? Where's God hiding? And then we're so put out, we're just like, well, I'm just going to do it myself. I'm going to take over the controls. And when we do that, we're trusting ourselves rather than placing our trust in God, right? And that's why I find today's fear topic, oddly enough it does, it intertwines perfectly on this day that is known and celebrated as Mother's Day. So let's first, though, turn our focus to our scripture reading, which is Psalm 46. And this is going to be read by Mikhail Barlow and Kate Poole. And the translation is from the New Revised Standard Version. And again, our reading is from Psalm 46.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved.
God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth.
He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Thank you, Kate and Mikkel. May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. So I'm going to first place emphasis on this day, Mother's Day. This is a day, it's an annual holiday in which we mark in time to lift up and express our appreciation and gratitude to the mothers in our lives, those who gave birth to us. And that's the very first gift that has been given from one human to another. We also celebrate on this day about love that it's more than sentimentality. There's some meat on that bone, so to speak. It's not always warm cookies and milk at the kitchen table with our mothers. Being a parent, wow, that is a 24/7 job. And there is no days off. Personal rewards? Sure. Monetary compensation? No. Nope. Struggles, as they would say in Louisiana, guaranteed. And through it all, mothers can exhibit and do exhibit tremendous courage, strength, and inner fortitude where you don't want to be going around messing with mama. I don't know about your mother, but mine, well, while she can worry the wart off of a frog, when it comes to her child, and that's my sister, me, and let's throw in the grandchildren as well, don't you go crossing that skinny as a rail woman. I've seen her swiftly go from Linda Lee Danvers to Supergirl, where if faced with Dwayne Johnson in a showdown, she'd hogtie his six foot five self. She'd shove him, and I mean that with the love of Jesus, she'd shove in him in an old video console, making him wish he'd stayed as Dr. Smolder Braveheart and Jumanji, Welcome Back to the Jungle. Now, humor aside, I know for others on this occasion, your mothers may have passed on. And this just happened to a friend of mine yesterday. And you know, when that happens and you're dealing with that, there's a piece of your heart that you feel like it's missing. Or I'm going to take it a step further. Some may not have had good, loving, caring, supportive mothers, birth mothers. That this holiday, what it does is it brings up feelings of hurt and abandonment. I want all of us, though, to consider, and this is why we had the question of the day, the way I phrased it, what about those women in our lives who have been integral to our growth, who had a hand in raising us, who provided wisdom and guidance when, you know, others may not have been able to reach us? They may not be recognized as our birth mothers. Nonetheless, on this day, we celebrate them as well for inspiring us, for believing in us, and loving us for who we are. Amen? On Mother's Day, we celebrate the personal and collective sacrifices that women have made. And in so doing, we would do well to remember and celebrate that Mother's Day also has its roots in the thirst for justice. That indeed, did you know that there's a direct connection to Methodism to this day? Did you know that? Well, yeah, absolutely, because Anna Jarvis, J-A-R-V-I-S, Anna Jarvis was a Methodist, as was her daughter who followed her footsteps. And you talk about thirst and justice, a thirst for justice and peace. In the 1840s and 50s, Anna earnestly organized what were known as Mother's Day work clubs. And what this did was it brought local mothers together, and what they were doing was helping promote cleanliness and sanitation into the communities in which they lived. But then came the ferocity of America's Civil War. And with that, there was this bitter divide, and there were enormous casualties, horrific casualties. But did that stop Anna Jarvis? Mm-mm. It only increased her veracity in caring for others, because this is what she did. She convinced women on both sides of the war to provide relief and care for any and all. That was Confederate or Union. It didn't matter. She did this, and so well-respected was Anna Jarvis that soon after her death, President Woodrow Wilson, he recognized her key efforts in her determination to make this world a better place for lasting improvements in our society. And it was then in 1914 that the second Sunday in May became known as what we know as the National Mother's Day. Thus, there are the foundational roots to this holiday. And in its own way, taking the lead from Anna Jarvis, we too search for peace in the midst of global, I'd say global chaos. Where do we find refuge and strength in the times of turmoil and fear? How do we embody the values of Jesus when it feels like the sky is falling or that we're being overcome by the telling of such? The sky is falling, right? I'm sure you've heard that phrase that coincides with sensing imminent danger, and it ties into this tale about a chicken who we'd most likely know as Chicken Little, who believes the world is coming to an end. This fable about fear, justified or not, it has this variety of endings. It goes from one end and it says, don't be a chicken, but have courage. And it goes to the other end of, don't believe everything you've been told. And yet, people from all walks of life, all of us probably, and it doesn't even matter where you live in this good earth, we all experience this sense of dread, afraid that the world is indeed falling apart. It's falling around us. When even the chances of something horrible happening in your community are 3.6 billion to one, information is still sought from sources across the board to actually reinforce your anxiety. Now, long odds or not, we can't deny the horror and devastation that's caused by terrorism. As Adam Hamilton laid out in his book, what happened on September the 11th, 2001, those coordinated attacks did exactly what Al-Qaeda hoped for. They struck fear in the heart of not only America, but in much of the world. And our lives on this good earth haven't been the same since. And Adam also, he points out in his book how perception plays a part in our fear, that our digital age has allowed the means in which even a small evil act is heard and seen around the world in an instant, just like this. And what that does is it ratchets up that fear that's within us to become afraid of the other, which can then easily spread, and it does, to encompass an entire people where fear shapeshifts into hate. For fears of terrorism can indeed lead us to acts in a way that is harmful and inappropriate to others. What should cause us as Christians to question, how am I loving my neighbor when they're different than I am? How am I loving my neighbor when I'm afraid of them? We need to educate ourselves and open ourselves to learn more about our neighbors, to tune into multiple news sources and to decipher between all of it, because somewhere in there lies the truth, decipher what that truth is. And to put ourselves, this is what my dad and mother always told me, is put yourself in someone else's shoes to gain an understanding. And I've held that all my life. What are they thinking? What are they feeling? What do they actually believe? What do they fear? They have fears themselves. And how can we come together as a whole to make this a better world? I find it interesting, and I just want to point this out to you, that Jesus didn't gather 12 disciples that all had like minds and like interests. It could not have been a picnic with the involvement of Matthew in one corner. Here's a tax collector. It's not like that's not bad enough. But this is a tax collector that worked for the Romans, and thereby he's supporting their rule over Palestine. And on the other hand, you got Simon, And Simon is a member of the political party known as the Zealots. Well, the Zealots, they're committed to overthrow the Romans and anyone who collaborates them. Whoo, that had to be more than a festive parable party. You just know the 4th of July fireworks are ready to go off on a daily basis. You just know that was coming. But by being in relationship and by being in community together, that's what brought them there. It brought them together. Learning the way of true life under the greatest teacher that the world has ever known, Jesus. To love God and your neighbor, who is different than you, and how to do that, and then to do that. And then, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, this came to the point where they were then having to fully live into the greatest commission, the great commission that was given by the resurrected Christ, to go out into the whole world and spread the good news. It goes hand in hand with what Adam Hamilton shares in his book, which I'm going to repeat here. How we treat those with whom we disagree is both a test and a demonstration of our character and faith. Being right is not the defining mark of the Christian life. We are defined and ultimately judged by how we practice love. All of this leads us to today's scripture passage and a question: where do you place your faith? Where do we place our faith? Now, I'd say for most Americans, if we as a whole were to be honest, our placement of faith is in the government of the United States. And I want to make this very clear. I am not making this a political statement. And this is not about a political divide. I'm talking about faith. And still, throughout the history of mankind and humankind, with all the nations throughout the world, there have been all kinds and levels of evil that have been committed against so many. Within the lifetime of our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, all of us have experienced this. Two devastating wars, we had the Holocaust, we've had nuclear weapons developed, social unrest and revolution around the globe, plus ad nauseum. Will there continue to be heinous acts committed against humanity? Will we as a global community experience more acts of terrorism in the years ahead? Yeah. Sadly, yes. Even so, with all of this and that, in whom should our bedrock of faith be placed? That's what Psalm 46 reminds us. In this psalm, you have the imagery of waters roaring and mountains trembling. Well, it was also metaphoric because you have the nations roar as the waters do and the kingdoms totter as the mountains do. So what doesn't fall due to the roaring and the shaking? That which doesn't move. The city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. But I want you to understand that key source for delight and protection, it isn't the city itself. It is the presence of God in the city. And my friends, that's where we're to place our faith. Place our faith on our holy Creator, the maker of heaven and earth, and all of our magnificent universe. For through it all, God, and I want to make this very clear, God has a way of working through the evil around us and in those who participate in it or advocate for it. God specializes in forcing good out of evil, of bending the foolishness of the human race, and to accomplish a much higher purpose. We must be cognizant of that fact and not to misplace our faith, to intentionally choose to lose Jesus, the Christ who is in us and the Christ who walks with us. Because you know what? If we do that, that is the greatest of all losses. By not welcoming the stranger in distress, by choosing to avoid and ignore our neighbors in need, by not loving them as we are commanded, because what Christ has told us, commanded us, is to be courageous, then not only be courageous, to be compassionate to everyone. I'll go back to what Reverend Hamilton told us about living with courage. And I want to bring this back up today because it certainly seems applicable to when we feel like the sky is falling. Fear. Face our fears with faith. Examine our assumptions in the light of the facts. Attack our anxieties with action. Release our worries and our cares to God. With that application, you see, to me, that's where we adhere to what the psalmist wrote. Be still and know that I am God. And then when we release our worries to the Almighty, let's also pray for wisdom and guidance and strength and peace, the peace that comes from within. As we conclude today's message, here's a shout out to Reverend Hamilton. Got to give it to him because he's helping us understand and counter the myriad of fears that we face. To look at the Bible for insight, to develop sustaining spiritual practices as well as practical solutions, to place our trust and faith in the Lord of hosts, who is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, to embrace Jesus' loving and supportive words, do not be afraid. And on this day, this Mother's Day, a day about love, let us remember that God is love, perfect love. And what does perfect love do? It casts out fear. And God invites each and every one of us today and all of our days to celebrate and live into that love in all the ways and all the means possible. Amen. Amen.
You're ready. Join us with this song. Come on.
God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are he.
Come on.
Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me. And I am free in Jesus' name. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. Overcome, yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. Thank you.
shaking.